Right now, our segment is, yes, the Computer Man.
I'm the Macintosh Man with
and it's sponsored by Micro Center in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We've got two experts, Nick Rearich and Peter Sparra. Hi, guys.
Hey there.
How's it going?
I did on the show maybe a couple of years ago an interview with a group that runs this company called the 3D Experience. It's just a few blocks from where we're sitting here in the first floor of the Tribune Tower. It's really catching on. I see a headline here and there about how 3D printers are revolutionizing things like a medical science, where they're actually making these things in these machines, actual 3D items, and then putting them into people's bodies. I mean, in their whole other areas too, that this is growing.
That is correct, and you know, especially this week during the CES, I remember reading an
CES. That's a Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Yep, I remember reading an article about MakerBot, one of the big 3D printer people out there, announcing using composites and 3D printing to making 3D printed composites. You know, like making a hammer or making a sculpture using, like, you know, they mix like copper and a couple other things together to make it durable so you can actually use it.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, a 3D printer is a printer, but it prints out layer upon layer of, it looks like typically plastic of some kind.
Yes.
Yep.
And then that can be used to make a mold, or that can be the final end product itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter, you were saying that maybe one day we'll have these in our homes and maybe make just basic goods. Somebody was speculating, who was that, you, Nick, about food?
Well,
might be 3D printed.
It's probably going to catch on sooner or later. You know, we might have the Star Trek days where we get to say, replicator, make me Earl Grey hot.
Well, that wouldn't be such a big
deal.
How
mac and cheese?
Think big. Yeah. Give me a steak sandwich or something.
Yeah.
Yep. But it is an area that I think I had heard that there are areas of study that you can go to college, get degrees, become really adept at using these things, and more industries are adopting them into their manufacturing.
Oh, yeah, especially like a lot of engineering degrees, they involve 3D printing now, just to, as their basic core classes, learning about 3D printers and how they are, probably the way of the future. Most, building devices, basic everyday devices,
Yeah, just ordinary things. You think of them as to make tchotchkes and little goofy little toys, like a little baby dinosaur or a giraffe, uh-huh, out of plastic, but these aren't toys that they're making.
Yeah, and just before we went on air, Peter showed me, NASA made a 3D ratchet that you can download yourself for free and try to make your own ratchet that you can use to,
fix stuff.
Yeah. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. That is if you want to talk to Dan Long, who will put you through, and you can talk to us on the air. That's the same number to call. Actually, it wouldn't be technically a call, but that's the same number to use if you want to send us a text. Again, it's 312-981-7200. Talking about computer issues, if you've got a problem with your computer at home, or you have a question about maybe buying a new computer, a bug issue that you're talking, that you need to have resolved, these guys can do a pretty good job. The thing is, though, isn't it true that a lot of problems, you can sort of talk people through it, but you do have to bring the thing in,
mm-hmm,
in many cases.
There are a few that are easy that you can talk through, but, at the same time, there are some times where, you need to sit down and spend some time with the computer, because most issues sometimes are unique and, there's not just one perfect solution to fixing one system.
You still have XPs walking into the office?
Oh, every once in a while.
Yeah. But are they there for upgrades, or are they trying to keep their old...
We see, I would say, most people are there to upgrade. They're finally giving up, XP, moving on to 7, 8, but there are those few that want to hold on to it. There's a lot of reasons why people hold on to an XP machine.
They don't want to change.
Basically, they don't want to change, or they don't want to upgrade their software.
Isn't that the case? The idea that change is uncomfortable. You're comfortable with something, and you don't want to go, especially when Windows came out with that 8 and 8.1. And I use that on one of my laptops. I'm accustomed to it. I like it. But I know a lot of people can't stand it because it's so dramatically different from the basic start menu that you used to get. And can still get with Windows 7, which is, I assume, why they made that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, Windows 8.1, they try to reintroduce that again to the operating system. And even Windows 10, that's going to be coming out, they talked about, bringing back either the tile experience or the start menu experience.
Hi, Ed. You're on WGN talking with the Micro Center guys. Your problem is what?
Hi there. Every day when I start up my computer for the first time, when I get to the desktop, a little Windows pops up, a little micro Windows box pops up that says MCCI plus MCCI service host stopped working. And I have no idea what this is. I usually just click out of it and ignore it.
Doesn't it make you angry? You get these things, and they don't really explain anything. They just make you worry.
Yes, day after day.
Well, something like that, I'm not too familiar with off the top of my head. Usually when you get those kind of error messages, you know, there might have been, you know, I usually suspect that, you know, there's some malicious software that your antivirus software removed, and that's just the remnants left over of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because so what can you do?
I usually just ignore it, and it seems to have no effect on the operation of the computer.
I would, you know, there's ways of...
Do you have a malware detection software?
Oh, I've run those types. I use Avast, and I've run the malware bytes I have. I've run that. I've run a couple other things, and it always comes up clean.
Yeah. Malware bytes, are you using the free service or the pro?
I have the free, yes, I do.
All right. Well, would that be an instance where maybe the pro might be something?
It might be, but the thing is, it sounds usually when I get those kind of issues is, you know, there was something that was malicious on the system and it was removed. And mm-hmm. upon removing it, that was a leftover file. And, you know, the program's trying to start up, but it can't find that, you know, missing file. And that's why you get that error message. There is a way, like, download, like, a CCleaner and clean up your registry and see if that will fix it.
CCleaner.com, I gather.
I've run that also.
Wow.
I have them all. And then, you know, it doesn't seem to affect the operation of the computer. So I just click out of it. And every day it always says that Windows is searching for a solution and will let you know. But...
Yeah,
I guess I'll just keep clicking out of it every day.
That wouldn't appease me. So I don't know, guys. Should he bring something like that in?
I would definitely recommend bringing in.
Yeah, run that dude. Is it a laptop?
It is a, desktop.
All right. Well, the next time you've got a real problem that you need to haul the tower in for, mention this little item as well, and they'll take a look at that.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right, Ed. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
312-981-7200, talking with Peter and Nick from Micro Center. I'm Bill Mahler. More calls, more conversation coming up. I'm Bill Mahler talking with Peter and Nick from Micro Center about your problems. Here's another, looks like a malware issue. This is with Cliff. Hi, Cliff. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I've been hearing about some sort of a malware, I believe, or something like that, that attach your files, and they send like an extortion letter saying that you have X amount of time to pay $500. To ensure that your files won't be lost, and your files become encrypted in some way. And I just wonder if there's any form of protection that you folks would recommend.
Yeah, Nick and Peter, happen when you inadvertently open a corrupted file and it gets then onto your drives?
Usually that's what happens with the malware. Malware bytes, you know, they can protect the best they can, but there is a newer breed of this one out here that hides everything through the private network called Tor, and unfortunately, you know, the only thing is you can, you know, surf the web the best you can. Don't click on anything suspicious.
So there's no once it's happened, you can't protect yourself. The only thing to protect yourself is to not open anything that's a link on an email
or go to any suspicious websites, download anything that you're not sure of.
Yeah, so Cliff, I think if you've gotten infected, I've been hearing conversations about people who've been having to pay that money because they absolutely need what's on their drive. The other solution is to back everything up.
Yeah, always make sure you have a backup. With that, you know, they don't always. The newer ones are actually starting to affect people's backups. So always try to have an offsite.
So
backup.
External drive, a cloud drive, they can get into that too.
External local, but I didn't hear anything much about cloud-based services yet.
I have a backup. I take a nightly backup of my wife's files, mm-hmm. and she's a photographer, and she has thousands of pictures, and I'm worried about protecting those. So
I would definitely invest in an offsite backup. Look into, you know, Google Drive or
OneDrive for my
OneDrive or. Dropbox. You know.
Dropbox. Mosey is another one. I actually have Mosey. I use OneDrive. So one of those cloud-based ones is probably a good place to go.
Well, I sure appreciate your input.
All right, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Cliff, that was. Here's something from 630. When you move data to an external drive from a computer that you know was infected onto a new or repaired PC, are you reinfecting the same viruses and malware? So does that stuff travel?
Technically, yes and no.
That's not a good answer.
Well, because there's you have, let's say if you're moving files from one area to another, to a different computer, as long as you don't touch them, they're not really infecting your computer. But if, so you can pretty much move your old pictures, documents from your older computer that was infected to a newer one, and you can run full malware scan on a hard drive.
A full what?
Malware or a virus scan on a
scan,
hard drive.
Okay.
Yeah, you can run that before you actually touch those files and make sure, you know, there's nothing on them.
So clean up the data before you move it.
That's one way. Yeah, that's the best way, personally, I'm saying. But as long as you don't touch the file that you know it's infected, you should be fine.
Most of the time, viruses and malware, they try to infect core Windows files. They don't usually try to go to personal information, but there are cases where...
What is a core Windows file?
You know...
System files, anything that's really... Windows related, anything that maybe that's...
So came with your computer.
Right, like Internet Explorer.
Anything
could
that be. Allows your system to run, that's what we call core Windows file.
Oh, okay.
So when you go into, you know, start your computer and it goes in My Computer and you have the Windows 32 folder, that's usually what they try to infect.
Or 64.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chuck, welcome. WGN's here. How can we help you?
Hi. I recently got a new computer with 8.1 and I hate it. Someone suggested that there's an app that I can download, and it will make the 8.1 behave like 7.
There are apps like that out there. It's actually built in already to Windows 8. You have to basically set it up. If you Google how to make 8.1 go to start menu all the time, it'll tell you how to do it.
So say that again. So he should Google how to make 8.1 go to the start menu?
Yes.
So write those words down, Chuck, and apparently you can learn about that particular app.
And also, you know, we're going to start the MicroCenter clinics again, so I will go to microcenter.com and look up the next clinic time. We always do have clinics on Windows 8 and 8.1, so... We can always...
So, Chuck, that's what I did. They actually have these clinics. They're free little seminars. You go into one of the two MicroCenters.
Unfortunately, I'm 2 hours away from MicroCenter.
Okay. All right. Well, then
I'm
try...
I'm right on the Wisconsin line.
We need
a Lake County MicroCenter.
We do. So go ahead and search for that particular app. Did you get the language to type in?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Hey, Tony, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. My computer, it's not coming up on the computer screen. The screen stays black when we turn the computer on. I know the monitor works because when we turn the monitor on, it runs a test pattern and we can see the test.
I see. So you can see pretty much when you first turn the computer, you can see stuff on the screen, but after that you get nothing, right?
Right. It's like the monitor's not actually connecting to the, it's not getting anything from the tower itself.
That's very interesting. It could be a driver's issue, potentially, I'm thinking, because if the computer recognizes it, but then just hangs up and still works, but doesn't display anything.
Any other monitors you could try in the house?
No, not at all.
Because that would be one way to test if it's the plug, if it's the monitor itself, or if there in fact is something with the computer. Nick, wouldn't you say that should be probably what he has to do?
I would plug in another monitor first. That would be my first test. The other thing is you might have a multiple component failure, or if you said you get a test pattern, but you don't get any video after you don't get a BIOS screen or anything like that, do you?
Nothing, not even the home screen.
Yeah, you might be looking at a multiple component failure. Or the BIOS might be scrambled. It might need to be reset. You might have to clear the CMOS on it.
So, Tony, it sounds like it's worthwhile finding some other monitor or hauling it into, like, the MicroCenter store, mm-hmm. and then they can hook it up and isolate the problem immediately.
Yeah, bring it to Free Walking Tech Support. We can take a look at it very quickly.
Are you in the city?
I'm up in Wisconsin also, near Kenosha.
Oh, brother, okay. But you got to have a friend or somebody. I mean, it's worth the effort of...
Yeah, we have the other family we can borrow a monitor from.
Yeah, that will help you isolate it pretty quickly.
Okay.
All right, Tone.
Thank you very much.
Right on.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
All right, guys, got to let you go. Thanks so much. You'll be back next week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if people walk in and they want that malware bites...
The ESET and Malwarebytes bundle.
And ESET Nod 32, that weird-sounding antivirus program. But it wins awards. I use it. That's the only one I use. It's terrific. Never has anything gotten by it. You mentioned my name, Bill Mahler, or WGN Radio, and you can get that at one of the two MicroCenter stores at half price, so around $40.
Yep.
Yep.
Nick, Peter, thanks.
Thank you.
No problem.